right, well, if you would, turn with me your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. We continue to plod along in our consideration of the Gospel of Mark. I believe this is sermon number 73 in the Gospel of Mark. So we are making our way, slowly but surely. We come today to Mark chapter 14, verses 66 through verse 72. We will be considering the Apostle Peter today and his threefold denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last week we took a very brief break and we considered the Apostle Peter's preaching, his preaching of the Gospel in Acts chapter 2. So it's been a couple of weeks since we have looked together at the Gospel of Mark. And so let me remind you of what we studied just a couple of weeks ago. Mark chapter 14, verses 53 through verse 65 is all about Jesus' ecclesiastical trial before the Sanhedrin. He has come now to stand before the chief priests and the scribes and the elders and even the high priest himself, Caiaphas. And while Jesus' trial is taking place there in one of the upper rooms of Caiaphas' house, the Apostle Peter is going through a trial of his own. At the very same time that Jesus is standing before the Sanhedrin, Peter is being tried as well. Peter's faith in and commitment to Jesus will be tested there in the courtyard of the high priest. Peter is just a short distance away from the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he's within eyesight of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we will see today. And so we will learn about his fall. We will learn about the fall of a disciple, of a true Christian, with which we can identify, church. And so this account that has been given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is meant to warn us about the danger of sin. But it's also meant to encourage us in Christ. So there is a twofold purpose. There is a double purpose in this text for us today. So let's consider the Word of God together. I'll read Mark chapter 14, verses 66 through 72. And this is the Word of our God. As Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Nazarene." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are talking about." And he went out onto the porch. The servant girl saw him and began once more to say to the bystanders, "This is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean too." But he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man you are talking about." Immediately, a rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, "Before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times," and he began to weep. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. There is great value in reading biographies. Why do we read biographies? Biographies often inspire us as we read about acts of heroism. Maybe even now your mind is being drawn to some of those great biographies that you've read in your own life. But in every courageous and heroic person, there is also a mix of cowardice and fear. And so biographies are intended to remind us of our own humanity, to remind us of our own flaws and our own sins. Well, today in Mark chapter 14, we are here reading a portion of Peter's biography. We are reading the story of the Apostle Peter. We are learning about his humanity and his sin and his flaws. And since Peter is the likely source behind the Gospel of Mark, we are really reading an autobiography here from Peter. Peter doesn't hide his own flaws from us. He doesn't set aside his own sins so that we cannot see them, so that they are hidden from our view. But the Word of God wants us to know what happens to the godly when they fall. It wants to remind us, God wants to remind us that disciples can fall into great and grievous sins, and that none of us are above such a fall. So who is this man Peter? What has the gospel author told us so far in his writing about this man Peter, about this apostle? Well, Mark begins by telling us that Peter was a fisherman by trade. This is where we are first introduced to Peter. But then Jesus called Peter to be a disciple and to be one of his 12 apostles. You see, a disciple is just a learner, one who sits at the feet of a teacher. Peter and the other apostles would often call Jesus Rabbi, which just means teacher. And all of you who follow the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you are Christ's disciples. But none of you are apostles. Is everybody good with that? Are you okay with that? None of us are apostles. The office of apostle is an expired office. But Peter was both a disciple and an apostle. He had a special calling from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Peter when he initially called him, he said, "Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. I'll take you away from your maritime trade and make you a different kind of fisher." And throughout the Gospels, Peter is depicted as the leader of the 12 apostles. He stands out among the 12. He's the leader among them. He's oftentimes the first to speak up, whether for good or for ill. And after Peter was called, he was a witness to almost every important event in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. Peter was present for the transfiguration of our Lord in Mark chapter 9 when Jesus was changed, when his countenance was changed and his glory was temporarily unveiled. Peter and James and John were there with him on the mountain. They saw his glory. Peter is the apostle who confessed Christ with great zeal. You remember his confession in Mark chapter 8. When Jesus spoke to Peter, and he asked him this question, "Who do you say that I am?" And you no doubt remember Peter's reply. Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This was Peter's great confession, and it was a true confession. Simon Peter was in every way a man like us. A man who experienced great spiritual highs and great spiritual lows in his life. And I believe the lowest spiritual moment in Peter's life is present. It is seen in our text today when he denies the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times, just as Jesus predicted. Peter denies Jesus 3 times after denying that he would ever deny Jesus. We're going to look at what Peter says about the fact that he would never deny Jesus. He says in Mark chapter 14 that even though all the others may fall away, yet I will not. But indeed, Peter did deny Christ. And so these verses that we are going to look at today, verses 66 through 72, are all about a disciple's failing faith. And a Savior who intercedes. A Savior who forgives. And if you are a Christian here today, there is something of Peter in each one of you. There's vice and virtue in each one of you. There's the potential for obedience and the potential for disobedience. And so the Scripture is right to point us to Peter, to consider his life, to consider what we can learn from this man, to consider how we can learn to obey God, and how we can even recover spiritually after we fall. And so from Peter's life, we must ask the question, what do we do when our faith fails us? What do we do when our faith fails? Or maybe a better question is this, to whom do we turn when our faith fails? And so in order to answer these questions today, consider with me in the first place a prediction of denial. And let's look at Mark chapter 14, verses 29 through 31. Let's turn back a page in Mark's Gospel, verses 29 through 31. After the institution of the Lord's Supper, while on the way to Gethsemane, Jesus predicted that the sheep would be scattered. He predicted this in fulfillment of the Old Testament scripture, citing the book of Zechariah. And Peter responded in very Peter-like fashion. Verse 29, but Peter said to him, even though all may fall away, yet I will not. Jesus has said the sheep will be scattered. And of course, Peter was included in this broad reference to the sheep, not only the apostles, but probably a number of the disciples that were there as well. And so Peter, prideful Peter, thinks that he is a kind of super apostle. Peter thinks that he is above such a fall, and so he denies the Lord Jesus Christ. He disagrees with Jesus. He says, you say that the sheep will be scattered, but I will never deny you. What prideful words Peter speaks here. And as soon as Peter uttered these words of pride, Jesus predicts Peter's threefold denial. He predicts his fall. And so now Jesus turns his attention to Peter. Notice with me verse 30. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times. Jesus says, this very night. You say that you will never deny me. I say that this very night you will deny me. Just as we have seen many times before, the Lord Jesus Christ has specific knowledge of all future events according to his divine nature. How does Jesus know these things? How does Jesus know exactly what Peter will do? It's because he is God. And so Jesus says to Peter, you will deny me three times. You will deny me three times this very night, and you will deny me three times this very night before the rooster crows twice. But Peter persists in his belief in himself. He continues to believe, even in spite of what Jesus says, that he is able, that he can overcome any obstacle that he faces in his own power and in his own strength. And so notice what he says in verse 31. Peter kept saying insistently, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they were all saying the same thing also. And so here again is Peter's problem. Here is his self-confidence, his self-righteousness, his belief in himself. Now we fast forward just a few hours later to Jesus' trial before the Sanhedrin. And this brings us to our second point this morning and to our text for today. Our second point this morning is the denial come to pass, verses 66 through 71. The scene of Peter's threefold denial begins in the courtyard of the high priest. Notice with me verse 54. Peter had followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the officers and warming himself at the fire. And so this is where the scene takes place. Again, Jesus is in one of the upper rooms in the house of Caiaphas, and Peter is in the courtyard below. And now Peter will go through his own trial while Jesus is being tried by the Sanhedrin. And Peter's first denial is found in verses 66 through 68. And so let's read those verses once again. Verse 66, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Nazarene." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are talking about." And he went out onto the porch. What did Jesus say to Peter just a few hours before? "You will deny me this very night." And so who is the one to trip Peter up? Who is the one to cause Peter to fall? In God's providence, it is a lowly servant girl. She says to Peter, "You also were with Jesus the Nazarene," and Peter immediately denies it. He says these words, he says, "I neither know nor understand what you are talking about." What words of denial from the Apostle Peter? Peter now disowns Jesus. The one who he said just a few hours before he would never deny. "All the others may fall away, but I will never deny you," Peter said. And now Peter says, "I don't even know who this man Jesus the Nazarene is. I don't know anything about him. I don't understand what you are talking about." Peter denies the man who saved him from drowning on the Sea of Galilee. Peter denies the man who healed his mother-in-law, who was on the brink of death. Peter denies his friend and his rabbi and his master and his Lord. Peter then denies Jesus a second time. He denies him a second time. Notice with me the second half, verse 69 and the first half of verse 70. The servant girl saw him and began once more to say to the bystanders, "This is one of them." But again, he denied it. And so Peter doesn't just deny Jesus one time. He denies him a second time. And this time the servant girl points out Peter to a number of other people who are present there on the porch of Caiaphas' courtyard. But again, Peter denies his master. Peter then denies Jesus for a third time in the second half of verse 70 and verse 71. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean too." But he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man you are talking about." He began to curse and to swear. And so now Peter's zeal in denying Jesus increases. It grows, it heightens. He began to curse and to swear that he did not know Jesus. Peter put himself under oath before God that he did not know the Nazarene. So what is Peter doing here? Peter is bearing false witness. Peter is sinning against a holy God. Peter is sinning against Jesus himself, his master, his Lord, his rabbi, and his friend. So here is the pride of the apostle, bearing false witness, denying that he knew Jesus or anything about him. In commenting on Peter's sin, Matthew Poole writes these helpful and very thought-provoking words. He says, "How naturally one sin draws to another. Peter first tells a lie, then to lying adds swearing and cursing. Sin has a kind of snowball effect in our lives, doesn't it? It's like that snowball rolling down a hill. If you tell one lie, you will most assuredly have to tell another. If you sin once and you continue to try to hide your sin before God, you will most assuredly keep on sinning." This is what is happening in Peter's life. Sin upon sin. But where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. as we will see in Peter's life. And so what led to Peter's denial of Jesus? What is it that caused Peter's fall? Because we need to identify what brought about Peter's fall so that if we fall, if we deny the Lord Jesus Christ, we might also identify these things in ourselves. Peter's fall was due to the sin of pride and to the fear of man. To the sin of pride and to the fear of man. See, the prideful apostle gave in to the fear of man. He did not think that he could fall. And church, we must not believe that about ourselves. We must not believe, like Peter did at one point in his life, that we are above a fall. We must humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and realize that none of us are more holy or more righteous than Peter. Peter could fall. If Paul could make his mistakes, Abraham and David and Moses and Noah and Elijah, if they had their sins, we have ours as well. We must not give in to the fear of man. For this is what Peter gave in to. Peter was afraid of suffering at the hands of wicked men. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 29 that the fear of man is a great snare. It's a great snare. The fear of man has a way of entrapping us, of controlling us, of leading us to do something that we know is wrong, but we do it anyway because we are fearful of the consequences that man might bring upon us. What does the Lord Jesus tell us? We should not fear men, but we should fear our great God. So, church, I say to you, in light of Peter's sins, beware of the fear of man. Beware of the sin of pride. Paul writes these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. He says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall." And so, dear Christian, take heed that you not fall. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Consider now in the third place, response to denial, verse 72. Response to denial. What happened after Peter's threefold denial of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Luke gives us a little bit of insight in his gospel as to exactly what happened and what led Peter to return and to repent of his sins. Luke 21 and verse 61 says this: after Peter's denial, the Lord Jesus turned and looked. Can you imagine what Peter felt in that moment? The Lord Jesus turned and looked at Peter and presumably made eye contact with the apostle. He saw him. And Peter saw the Savior. And then, verse 72 in chapter 14, immediately a rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark before a rooster crows twice, "You will deny me three times," and he began to weep. Begin to weep. Peter immediately recognizes his mistake and the fulfillment of Jesus' words. It was the Holy Spirit who brought our Lord's words to Peter's remembrance. Jesus had spoken these words to Peter previously, but now they are brought to his mind once again as he makes eye contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now Peter knows that our Lord's words about him came to pass. Just a few hours earlier, Jesus had said, "You will deny me three times." And so it has happened. And Peter responds to his denial of Christ by weeping. This is no light cry that's being described here. Peter wept. Because he felt shame and sorrow for his sin, because he felt the guilt and the weight of his sin before a holy God. That look that Jesus gave to him, and that rooster's crow must have pierced Peter's soul as he recognized what he had done. One author writes these words. He says, "Who can pretend to describe the feelings that must have flashed across the apostle's mind? Who can conceive of the shame and confusion and self-reproach and bitter remorse which must have overwhelmed his soul?" This is what Peter was feeling. This is what Peter was experiencing. Grief of the greatest kind. Sorrow over his sin. Remorse over his denial. You see, Peter knew that he had failed in his faith. The apostle had made a shipwreck of his previous confession. "Though all may deny you, I will never deny you. I will never fall away." But Peter had backslidden in his commitment to Jesus. And so it's evident from Peter's response here that he felt the guilt of his sin. He felt the weight of his sin. And Peter's sin is a sobering and important reminder to us of this fact, of this reality, church, that giving in to sin never leads to joy or happiness in the Christian life. Giving in to sin never leads to joy or happiness in the Christian life. What does sin promise to you? Sin promises happiness. The flesh promises goodness and life and pleasure. Sin's promises are always empty, aren't they? Sin never leads to happiness in the Christian life, and Peter is an example of that. What does Peter do over his sin? He weeps. What does sin lead to? It only leads to guilt and shame and sorrow. And God used a servant girl to break down Peter's pride and his self-righteousness. And God oftentimes does that with us, doesn't he? He uses lowly means to break us down and to remind us that we are not above such a fall, to remind us that we must be totally and completely dependent upon him and his grace and his strength in Christ. I wonder, dear Christian, are you ever broken by your sin? Do you ever weep over your own sin? Do you feel the weight and the guilt of your sin against the holy and righteous God? We should, at times, be broken over our sin. Because our sin against a holy God is no small thing. But in Christ, we must always be reminded of our forgiveness. And so Peter's guilt over his sin, which was a right guilt, and a right shame, and a right sorrow, Peter's guilt over his sin led him to a speedy repentance. This is the only righteous response to our sin. We must flee to Christ. We must go to him for the forgiveness that he gives to us in his Son. And so let your guilt and your brokenness over your sin, like Peter, lead you to repentance. Flee to Christ. Go to the only one who can forgive you. Go to the only one who promises forgiveness if you will simply turn away from your sins and trust in him once again. Consider with me now, in the fourth and last place today, a return to faith. A return to faith. Thankfully, the story of Peter's life did not end with his denial of Christ. This is not where the story of Peter ends, is it? And there's an important before and aspect, an important before and after aspect to our text today. We must think about Peter's past, present, and future in order to see the whole picture of his life and what God is doing to make Peter more holy. So, if you would, turn over with me for a moment to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. Luke 22, beginning in verse 31. And notice what Jesus said to Peter before his threefold denial. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Again, Jesus says these words to Peter before his threefold denial. Jesus knew that Peter would fall. And he knew that Peter would return again in repentant faith. Our Lord commands Peter. He says, after you have turned again, he says, strengthen your brothers. And the turning that Jesus speaks of here speaks of repentance. By the power and by the grace of God and by the intercession of Christ. Implied in Jesus' words is the sweet song of forgiveness. How these words of hope and comfort must have echoed in Peter's mind long after his fall. What does Jesus say in verse 32? Jesus says, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Jesus prayed for Peter. And he tells Peter that he prayed for him. Church, this is a great reminder for us that we have the same high priest, we have the same mediator, we have the same intercessor as Peter. Jesus is our great high priest, and he continually intercedes for us and strengthens us and gives us what we need before the throne of grace. Hebrews 7 verse 25 says this, speaking of Jesus, our great high priest. It tells us that he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus was not just high priest for his people at one time in his earthly ministry. He continues on in his high priesthood now. He lives forever to make intercession for us. Yes, he interceded for Peter as the God-man during his incarnation. But now, as our exalted Redeemer, he continues to intercede for us, pleading his own merits before the throne of grace. He always lives to make intercession for his people. He always lives to make intercession for you who believe in him. One author says these words. He says, Peter was saved. Peter recovered. Peter returned to Christ because Jesus prayed for him. And there's a message there for us all. And the message is this, church, that our security doesn't lie in ourselves. It lies in Jesus and his intercession for us. Do not depend upon your own strength to recover and to return to Christ. Go to Christ and ask him to help you. Depend upon his strength, for he is your continual intercessor. Because of Christ's intercession, Peter was struck down, but he was not destroyed. Even the best of men may, for a time, fall into sin. And maybe that's true of you today. Maybe that's true of you today. But if you are in Christ, you may be struck down, but you are not destroyed. Therefore, do not despair. Your faith will not ultimately fail because Christ is greater than the greatest, than the greatest of all your sins. Peter repented because of Christ's grace. He was made sensible of his sin by the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ forgave Peter, and he will forgive you if you repent and turn to him again. Jesus was patient with Peter, and he will be patient with you. And so the first step of recovery, as we see here, is to repent of your sin. Turn to Christ, and he will renew your faith. The Lord Jesus ultimately restored Peter and made him a useful instrument in service to his great kingdom. After Peter's fall and our Lord's resurrection from the dead, the Lord appeared to Peter and the other 10 apostles. And we see his dialogue with them in John 21. And so turn over there with me for a moment as we bring things to a close this morning. John 21, verses 15 through 17. Again, our Lord here appearing to his apostles after his resurrection. This is taking place during that 40-day period between his resurrection and his ascension. Beginning in verse 15. So when they, that is the apostles and Jesus, had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." How many times does the Lord Jesus ask Peter, "Do you love me?" Three times. Three times. You see, these three questions are parallel to Peter's threefold denial of Jesus. This is a kind recommissioning of Peter to apostolic ministry. Peter was no doubt discouraged after his denial of Jesus. Peter no doubt had the same thoughts that many of us have when we fall into a season of sin against God. We think that God cannot use us for service in his kingdom anymore. That must have been what Peter thought. Jesus speaks kindly to him here. Jesus restores Peter to ministry by commissioning him in this way. He says, "Tend my sheep, feed my lambs. Watch over the church. I am entrusting the church to you. Be a faithful apostle and elder by my commission." We think of Paul's words in Romans 5. The law came in so that transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. And that's true in Peter's life, and it's true in your life. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. J.C. Ryle writes this. He says, "Let us leave this passage with a settled conviction that sin is sure to lead to sorrow, and that the way of most holiness is always the way of most happiness. The Lord Jesus has mercifully provided that it shall never profit his servants to walk carelessly and to give way to temptation. We will turn our backs on him, we shall sure to smart for it. Though he forgives us, he will make us feel the folly of our own ways. Those that follow the Lord most fully shall always follow him most comfortably." Sin is sure to lead to sorrow. Peter understood this, especially after his threefold denial. But Peter also understood these words, that the way of most holiness is always the way of most happiness. And Ryle isn't talking about worldly happiness. He's talking about spiritual happiness in Christ. Contentment and satisfaction in one's soul. And so let us learn this lesson from Peter. Let us learn that sin always leads to sorrow. And that we will be more happy in this life, more content and more satisfied in this life, if we will simply be obedient to our great God and Father. In conclusion, we see, as R.C. Sproul once said of Peter, Peter was a thundering paradox of a man. Peter was impetuous, and he was bold, he was vacillating at times. He was a man like us, a person full of vice and virtue. Peter was a man whose mistakes we can learn from, and so we ought to study his life. We ought to learn of him because he's revealed to us in the Word of God. And Peter's denial of Christ reminds us that we are not above such a fall. The Lord Jesus does not have one disciple that cannot fall like Peter fell. And likewise, Peter's denial and subsequent restoration reminds us that we are only restored because Christ intercedes for us. And so we go to our great high priest. We flee to Jesus Christ. And so I ask you today, when your faith fails, when your faith fails like Peter's faith failed, to whom do you turn? Where do you go? As the servant girl asserted about Peter, I would ask you this question. Are you with Jesus the Nazarene? Are you with Jesus the Nazarene? Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you deny him? Martin Luther once wrote these words, "The life of Christianity consists in possessive pronouns. It is one thing to say Christ is a Savior. It is quite another thing to say he is my Savior and my Lord." Christian, this must be your confession. You must say, Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. It is not sufficient for you to say Christ is simply a Savior. To speak of him in general terms. But he must be yours. And you must be his. If you are already in Christ, if you have come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, do those you have contact with, do they know that you are a Christian? Or do you live in constant denial of that which you have confessed in the church before God and before his people? You see, Christ should be seen and heard in your life. Christian faith is not just something that we add on to our lives. If you are in Christ, that is your primary identity. You are a Christian, first and foremost in this life. You see, if you confess Christ, then you must own him. We must own our Savior. We must not deny him, church. Three concluding applications to wrap up our text today. In light of all that we've learned about Peter, I exhort you to this, church. Confess Christ. And do not deny him. Confess Christ and do not deny him. Jesus says in Luke 12, "Everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God." Confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not deny him. If you do not confess Christ, then you are not from God. If you continually deny him and you do not confess him, you are at enmity with a holy God. 1 John 4:15, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." You must confess Christ. Secondly, confess Christ and deny yourself. Confess Christ and deny yourself. Luke 9:23, Jesus again says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily." Deny yourself. Do not deny the Lord Jesus Christ, but deny yourself and follow Christ. Confess him before men. Thirdly and lastly, confess Christ and do not be ashamed. Confess Christ and do not be ashamed. Again, the Lord Jesus teaches us this in Mark 8:38. "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Do not be ashamed of Christ. Do not deny Christ, but confess him before men. Peter would go on to write these words in 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, writing to the church in exile, to the suffering church, he says, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Those words came from a more mature Peter. From a Peter who understood his past sins. And so he says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed. You see, Peter learned from his past sins, having repented of his sins and turned to Christ once again in faith. So what is our task, church? Our task is this, Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. This is what our God has called us to do. He has called us to hold fast the confession of our hope, to not deny Christ, but to cling to him. But if we should ever deny him, to return again in repentant faith, knowing that we have a great high priest who will intercede for us and whose blood covers all of our sins. And so these are the lessons that God has for us as we study and as we consider the life of the Apostle Peter, a man like us, again, full of vice and virtue, but a man whose life we can study and learn from. That we can be like Peter in our faith in Christ, that God would continue to make us useful instruments in service of his kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father and our great God, how we thank you for your holy word. We thank you and we bless you for showing us something of Peter's humanity, for showing us something of our own humanity in studying the apostle. And we do ask, O God, that you would keep us from denying you as Peter denied you. That you would help us to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, knowing that you are our faithful God. So we thank you, O God, for your continual intercession for us, for Christ's continual priesthood on our behalf. Help us, O God, to be faithful. Help us to confess you, to not be ashamed of the gospel, knowing that it is the very gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. So find us faithful, O God. Help us to return to you if we should fall. Make us useful instruments in service to your great kingdom. As we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.